Previously on Those Were the Days.
What in the fever dream is happening right now?
They get to wake up at a rainforest cafe.
And if you know those two references, you're a very cool person.
That's about as much as I could figure out.
And yelled at the television that I wanted to watch The Bear Show.
You feel like a college freshman walking into the wrong lecture.
You'll be tied by your ankles from a lasso and dragged by a horse.
Around Lucy Lawless handing Kevin Sorbo his ass on Twitter.
Those Were the Days is filmed before a live internet audience.
What would you do if I podcasted to you? Would you log off and get off your phone? Lend me your earbuds and we'll talk about TV. We'll just try not to drone on for too long when I podcast a little with my friends. Just gonna podcast a little with my friends. And now I'm gonna stop there so that we don't get a takedown notice.
It was definitely a Joe Cocker imitation that would get us banned from YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, welcome back, everybody, to Those Were the Days, the podcast where we take a look back at some classic TV from back in the day and see what we're thinking about it today. Now, I'm your host this time around, Audie, and we've got a new theme. We're talking the worst of the best, looking at some of the worst episodes of the best TV, in our humble opinions, of course. But of course, I do need to podcast a little with my friends, so let me introduce them to you as we do. First, riding up on his bike, there's Steven.
Hey guys, we need to put Kevin in a really uncomfortable situation. What's the worst thing we could do to him? Yeah, I don't know, have someone give him a swirly? We don't have to demonstrate any kind of aggressive behavior, don't want the kids imitating it. Well, what if we have him play some dorky sport? Like chess? No. Let's do soccer. We'll surround him with a bunch of nerds. Won't that make people pick on nerds? No. They're used to it. They've been through this before. Let's ship it. Let's air the show. Let's go.
Next, pulling her radio flyer wagon, it's Amy.
So the 1970 World Cup was held in Mexico City and had a total attendance of 1.6 million people. In 1971, the first ever Women's World Cup happened with a final attendance of a world record-breaking 110,000 people. Just apropos of nothing. Don't even worry about it, though. That's just, just facts.
And finally, walking up, throwing his yo-yo, it's Travis.
So I was on the cross country team back in high school, and the best advice my coach ever gave me was, hey, run faster than the other guys. You know, that's stuck with me all these years later.
All right. So we are now talking the worst of the best TV, and I'm kicking us off talking about one of the TV goats. We're talking about the Wonder Years, if you didn't catch that from our intros at all, somehow. Now, as we do before we get into it too far, let's actually talk about everyone's history with the show. Let's start with you, Travis.
I mean, I definitely remember the Wonder Years, and it was just such a cultural touchstone show. I think my biggest memories are obviously Fred Savage, and then... Daniel Stern doing the voiceover, and just like that voiceover constant throughout the show, and my inner monologue, while it doesn't sound like Daniel Stern, constantly going like that. So that's my biggest memories.
Nice. What about you, Steven?
I watched this show a million times. Like I've seen every episode of it at least three times. Because every night it came on Nick at Night, like right at the, it was in the pocket.
There we go.
It was in the pocket of my evening. You were not going to miss it. I was probably in bed or doing my homework watching The Wonder Years, and it hit it like the right time. I think I was probably 14, 15 when it was airing on Nick at Night, maybe a little younger. But, like, I was, oh, my gosh, I've been to these places. I know these kids. I've seen this world. I mean, not 1960s. But, I mean, kids don't change that much. Yeah. It was pretty much the same. And I was there for all the rumors of, hey, did you know Paul is also Marilyn Manson? You remember that? That
oh,
was,
yeah.
That was a lot of fun nonsense going on in your school. But, yeah, I treasure this this show because I was there when I was really young. My parents watching it on TV. I remember the music coming on. This was, what, 89 to 93 or something? 88, something like that. Anyway, I was old enough to be aware of it playing on our big brown cabinet television in the living room.
Yep.
On our brown carpet.
Yep.
Next to our brown fireplace.
Yeah.
With nicotine in the air everywhere. Yeah. Okay. So long. That was a long answer for me to say yes. I'm familiar with the show.
Good answer. We'll take it. Amy, what about you?
This one, I believe. Like, I know I watched it, and I believe that this was another one of our family appointment television shows, like that we would all watch. I mean, Star Trek: The Next Generation was the big one, but I'm pretty sure we all sat down to watch this. I think my mom really liked it too, like a lot, if memory serves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I love the Wonder Years.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a show with mom energy.
Yeah.
It's got that. Mm-hmm. It's for sure.
Because you just, you know, it's just, you can just mom shake your head the whole time.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the mom is really caring and great in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you just watch Kevin.
Yeah. I'm definitely in that same boat that it was. I don't remember it necessarily being appointment television for my family, but I remember us just watching it all the time when it was on. I don't remember all the way up to the ending. Like, I've since, you know, going over it and stuff, being like, oh, that's how they ended. Okay, interesting. But yeah. So The Wonder Years was a coming-of-age comedy that ran on ABC for 6 seasons from January 31st, 1988 until May 12th, 1993. It actually debuted right after the Super Bowl that year.
Oh. Nice.
So,
nice landing.
Yep. And each season was set exactly 20 years from its airing. So, okay. 1988 starting off in 1968. Focused on Kevin Arnold, a teen growing up in suburban middle-class America with a family in the late 60s to early 70s with his present, quote-unquote, for the time, 30-something self narrating each episode. Now, there's all kinds of stuff about this show all over there. I'm going to cover the basics, and then we'll get into it, because if you really want the nitty-gritty, go on YouTube and watch all the ridiculous interviews you can find on there of the cast talking about this show. It's kind of crazy just how much is actually available to watch and learn and glean. And this seems to be one of those, Amy, this is one of those where everybody loved each other and got along and was okay with each other afterwards.
So. I love we've got an Amy disclaimer. Like we got to know.
I can't get over it. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's fine.
So
just lie to me. Tell me they liked each other.
It was created by husband and wife producing writing team Neil Marlins and Carol Black. The show earned a spot in the Nielsen Top 30 during the first 4 seasons. Won an Emmy for Outstanding Comedy Series in 1988. It had only aired 6 episodes when it won that Emmy.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
In comedy series.
Right.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Continued with 54 various TV award nominations and winning 22 of them. It starred Fred Savage, as we said, as Kevin Arnold, who actually became the youngest actor ever nominated for the Emmy for Outstanding Lead Actor in a Comedy Series.
I love Fred Savage. I mean,
that's still Fred's a record.
My favorite growing up. So Fred Savage was just.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's a cool man.
He still holds that record. It's still up there. He's still the youngest nominated for that.
Wow.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So, then we've got the rest of the cast. We have Josh Saviano starred as Kevin's best friend, Paul. Everybody thought, like Steven said, everybody thought he grew up to become Marilyn Manson. He did not.
No.
He grew up to become a lawyer and didn't care about any of your opinions about that.
Incredible. Does he ever address that, Audie, in your journeys trying to find out more about the show?
Oh, I don't remember if there was anything specifically. I mean, he's in the the cast reunion kind of episodes and interviews and stuff. So he's there just talking about it and probably laughing it off with the rest of them.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
Then you've got Danica McKellar, starred as Gwendolyn Winnie Cooper, friend and eventual girlfriend for Kevin. Spoiler alert if you haven't watched the show.
Yeah.
And they were our three mains throughout most of the series, kind of. Then you've got Kevin's family. You had his dad, Jack Arnold, played by Dan Loria. His mom, Norma Arnold, played by Allie Mills. His oldest sister, Karen, played by Olivia Diabo. Older brother, Wayne, played by Jason Hervey. And like Travis was talking about earlier, adult Kevin narrating everything, played by Daniel Stern. Which still blows my mind.
I need to point out somebody that's in this episode and no other episode, but it distracted me so hard until I realized where I knew him from.
I have a feeling I know who this is going to be.
You do. Yeah, you too. Must. So there's like this tall, gangly nerd on the team with red hair.
Yep.
And so he's Lumpy Adams from the Adams Family movie.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's where I recognize him
I
from.
I saw it, and it kept, like, my head kept telling me Rocky Horror, and I was like, that's incorrect. Like, you're wrong. Yeah. Figure it out. And then it was like, it's Lumpy Adams. It's like,
right.
There we go.
I mean, right direction, just wrong movie.
Yeah, yeah. I went the right way. Yeah. I got in the right vibe.
This episode had a couple of those, because the guy that was the twitchy one that they first meet, so he is a character actor. He's been in a ton of stuff, but I remember him specifically from Psych. If you're playing the drinking game at home, take a shot. But in Psych, he was in a couple of episodes, but the one in particular that I loved him in was he was the son of a Asian restaurant owner, and Sean and Gus go into the restaurant, start talking to him, and he's got this just horrifically thick Asian accent. And they make a joke about it, and he's like, what are you talking about? This is like he in the accent. He's like, this is how I talk. I was adopted. This is how I and like then Sean and Gus kind of feel bad about it. But come to find out, he was a producer for Psych and like a bunch of shows. Oh, wow. He got into that. Thing. So, But he's got one of those faces that when I see it immediately I knew. So it was like him and then Lumpy Adams.
Yeah.
And that's all I could think of for any scene with the soccer team.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that dude, you can tell he got into something other than acting because his IMDb photo has him with headphones around his neck, which means you're on set doing something other than acting.
Yeah.
I hadn't looked at Danica McKellar's other stuff. Like, I loved her in this. Right, like we didn't get her in this episode, but which is probably why it's part of why it's the worst.
Yeah,
but you know that joke that always happens around Christmas about the Hallmark movies with the woman in the red dress and the man in the green sweater?
Mm-hmm.
She does all of those movies.
Yeah, that's Danica McKellar.
That makes me so happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep,
I didn't realize.
Oh yeah, bunch of those. Oh,
that's delightful.
Andy Berman is the actor, by the way, that I was mentioning. And this was...
Yes.
He became a semi-recurring character in The Wonder Years after this episode. This was his introduction. And then he did like another bunch of episodes the rest of this season and the final season. So, but yeah, Danica McKellar in all the Hallmark movies.
Mm-hmm.
She also got referenced. There's a song. It was like a... I hesitate to call it a one-hit wonder because like 8 people know of this song and my friend Joe and I are 2 of them. But it was a song by this British kind of pop punk band called The Smell from early 2000s. And they reference Winnie in that song. So whenever I that's kind of taken over my memories of The Wonder Years itself to where I just think of that song and that line from it now.
Amazing.
Yeah. I just need to go back to the Daniel Stern thing because that still blows my mind.
Yeah.
Like I hear him talk in interviews normal, and I'm like, in my mind, he is still Home Alone. Like, he's just that character.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, and now he's just an artist doing stuff, sculpting and stuff. And he's like, yeah, I acted for a while, but this is my passion. And it's like, cool.
Like,
great.
Dude, cut the check and do what you want. Mm-hmm. I remember being, this is 98, 99 when it was running on Nick at Night, or maybe a little bit later. Anyway, when I was watching it as a teenager after its initial run, I remember hearing that voice and I was like, that sounds like Daniel Stern. But like, we didn't have internet to the degree where you could just go look that up.
Right? Mm-hmm. No, so I sat there and I just... use your TV guide.
Yeah, your TV guide, or asking your friends, like, is that Daniel Stern? Mm-hmm. Said that? Nobody cared, because I was the only person watching Nick at Night Wonder Years in my entire friend group. Mm-hmm. So, like, I just had to sit there and wonder and be pretty sure, but I couldn't confirm it for years. It drove me bonkers.
There was a short span between no internet and the internet that everybody got would do the pop-up video style stuff for TV.
Yeah.
And you were lucky if you got that.
For me, it was always, like, for me... because my sister, for a pretty good time, we were obsessed with City Slickers.
Dude,
and so that is honestly the franchise I associate him with. Because we were very into City Slickers.
It's Home Alone and City Slickers. Those two movie franchises are what I think of with him. And apparently, and I'm just seeing this now for the very first time, there is a video like short from 2017 called City Slickers in Westworld.
Yeah. I just
saw
it.
Oh, my goodness.
Is he in it?
Yeah.
He is
playing
Phil, and now I must find
this. We're not done with this thing.
Oh, and it's like Billy Crystal. Like,
they're all in it.
Yeah.
Well,
Lord. Billy Crystal. Good.
I mean,
I guess.
Yeah.
What's his
name? He also reprises his role from Rookie of the Year as the...
Oh, yeah.
Crazy... pitching coach, maybe? I can't remember what his jam, but he choked on sunflower seeds. Uh-huh. He's amazing. And when the Cubs were in the World Series like 5 or 6 years ago, he did a video about them, as in character, like from his living room. And you're like, is Daniel Stern okay? Is is he all right? He got it together. It was so good.
He's fine. He's just doing whatever he wants to do.
He's fine, yeah.
I have to bring one last thing back with Andy Berman, because him being the producer was one thing. He's also the voice of Dib from Invader Zim.
Oh, yeah.
So, sorry. Just had to mention that.
Voice work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Wonder Years ran for 6 seasons. It was canceled and ended in 1993. Apparently, this was came from the executives at ABC at the time who didn't want to continue the show. There was some change of the guard there. There was financial issues with dealing, and then, you know, wondering about dealing with Kevin growing and maturing after this in the 70s and dealing with those kind of things. And it was interesting. I did listen to one interview that Dan Lawyer, who played the dad, talk about, where he was like, everybody making the show was like, let us finish this better. Yeah. Like, we'll take a cut in pay. We'll do a half season, whatever. Like, and it wasn't done. So very interesting the way it kind of just kind of ended for them.
Mm-hmm.
But still, they had a pretty good run. But we're not talking about the good stuff.
No,
we're talking about what's the worst episode. And again, I went to IMDb in all its glory, in all its wisdom, and it said season 5, episode 7, titled Soccer, is the worst episode. And after watching it, I can see why. Because, like,
yeah, I mean, it's still like, what is it? It's still like a 7.4. So, like, let's not, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
Right. Out of 10, 7.4.
Yeah.
But that speaks to the quality of the show in general,
and sort of
the nostalgic feeling. Like, even when it's not great, like, it's still watchable. There was moments in this that were pretty fun, but also,
That's what makes it one of the greatest of all time show. Like, I noticed that when I was searching for my show, it was like, man, when a good show's good. Yeah. It's good for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's real hard to find the writers having an off day, you know, and just running out of things to do. So in the scope of things, is bad TV, but it's not as bad as it could be.
Right.
Definitely wasn't trash.
No.
Right. No.
You know?
It was not a great episode, though.
And I'll go ahead and say one of the main reasons for that is all we get is Kevin. There is no Paul.
Yeah.
There's no dealing with Winnie. They're out of the picture. It's mostly just we barely get his family in this episode. Yeah. Like, there's one conversation scene at the beginning, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it all centers around the soccer team and the coach, and then they do nothing with that. And I think that's
nothing at all.
That's the thing.
I mean, that's the problem,
that
right?
drove me nuts in this episode. Is it got to the end, and I'm like, "What are we doing? Why is that? What? Nothing happened."
Right,
we
because
need to
we
fill 30 minutes,
basically,
pretty much. Yeah, talk about the definition of a filler episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, you think there's going to be some grand ending because we start with the trophy case and talking about the grandeur it is to be in the trophy case at the school and all this. And we have Kevin trying out for football.
That was really good. That part was pretty good.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I love it when he's trying out. He's getting smacked around. Coach calls him over and it's like, "You gave it your all. Does that mean I make the team? You gotta be joking."
That is literally the best you can do, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, and I love, like, there was where the voiceovers get like, "Well, I was 5 foot four and 115 pounds. What was I gonna do?" Like,
right.
Yeah, it's, the voiceover is what makes that work. And also, it's just fun because you know it's like the early 70s, and that coach was definitely gonna tell him, "No!
Right.
Get the showers, kid."
Yeah.
Nah. There's no like, "Well, you did your best, son, you know, but it's not for everybody."
Right,
it was
no.
just blunt
Pound
trauma
sand.
Straight into his face.
I mean, I'm honestly surprised that the coach wasn't smoking during practice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, just lighting up a heater right there on the field.
Right. Well, again, ABC sensors and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was still the early 90s, despite it taking place then.
Yeah.
On TV, they're like, "Well, it's the 70s. Can we smoke?" No. Standards and practices says you can't smoke. Mm-hmm. Everyone smoked. Too bad. You know, to leave this realism behind. Can he spit in a Coke can at least? Come on.
That would have been better. Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a glass Coke bottle that he's spitting into.
With just a napkin shoved out into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gross.
That was every bottle at my uncle's house.
You have to be careful what bottle you pick up and drink out of.
I never did in that. Like, I made sure to have, like, whatever I had was sealed when I picked it up.
Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it tastes like ashes and skull. Whoops.
What a wild time.
So, yeah, we learn from the voiceover, it's Kevin's sophomore year in 1971. He's getting on the bus, lamenting the fact that he's not going to play a sport and get in the trophy case. For whatever reason, he wants to get in the trophy case. And
that
I love that
important.
He gets...
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently.
To some
but,
people.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. It's like, why is this important to you, Kevin? Like,
you're if you're not a sports guy...
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
he wants
that was the interesting
else.
Thing about... Yeah, that was the interesting thing about Kevin. Like, he was kind of... It's almost like the writers wanted him to be a nerd and just kind of always down on his luck. But he was always trying to be the coolest kid in the room at the same time. And it always just never worked out, but he never stopped trying to make... That's why he went for the football team. He weighed nothing. He was just trying to be that kid. I guess because maybe his brother was.
Yeah.
I don't know what the psychology behind that would have been.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it makes sense. He just never... Instead of embracing the fact that he was a big dork, he just kept fighting it.
Oh, he
and
did.
You know what? The rest of us learned how to embrace it, and look at us now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, me. Look at me now.
I was a theater kid in high school, so I
you knew
you
what
know.
You were doing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Rock and roll.
Yeah, I was. I was a comic book nerd. Now we're having
honestly,
our heyday with X-Men 97.
I was the athlete.
The jock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was.
Yeah, yeah, you were the daywalker to hang out with the nerds and the jocks at the same time.
It was really weird. But
yeah,
that was
that's,
me.
That's cool.
No.
I've known plenty of you people.
What do you mean, you people?
you do the thing. both things.
Okay, so before we have that discussion. No.
Yeah, help me out, Audie.
So Kevin's, lamenting not getting on the football team and gets hit with a football. I mean, soccer ball. And I love... Amy, this is why I loved your intro, because I was thinking the same thing. Like, he gets hit with a soccer ball and was like, what's this?
I mean, look. So that's 1971, okay? Mm-hmm. By 1984, 85, I was playing little tiny peewee soccer because my next-door neighbor was a soccer coach. Mm-hmm. I have the button with my photo. I think it's 1986. Like, it's not that... Like, we're not... It's not giant gaps, man. Immigrants were even if you pretend that no one that is native to the United States had ever heard of soccer, people came here.
So this is supposed to be 1971. Pele was already Pele existed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the World Cup had been the year before in Brazil. So
Mexico City.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mexico City in 70. You're
Mexico
right.
City. Which is even worse, right? Because it's right there.
It's even closer.
It was the first time it was outside of Europe or South America. So it was a big deal. It was the first time it was in North America. You can't tell me that no one knew it.
It's smart for the people watching TV. They're like, well, I've been doing football, man, all day. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, let's have Kevin be the proxy for the meatheads who don't know what soccer is.
And even at this time, they tried to couch it, but I was just, I had the same feeling. I was like,
I can't, I need to look this up.
Yeah.
I gotta do some research.
And so he meets one of the guys from the team, and he's like, wait, we've got a soccer team? And he's like, yeah. Like,
now, that part I believe. Like, that part's fine.
Oh, sure.
Like, I'm 100% with the, like, hang on, what do you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So he's like,
soccer was a cheap sport to add on to your school
sports,
too.
So cheap, because, and it's a cheap one to play.
Yeah, you need, it costs nothing.
Shin guards and a ball. Great. Amazing.
I mean,
but
he's asking, where do you practice? You know, the third auxiliary football field. Down through the woods by the stream? It's like... Okay, by grandma's house. All right.
It's not even on school property. It's just just a clearing.
Yeah. Yeah, it belongs to the park next door, but they don't really maintain it.
Mm-hmm. And Kevin goes down to check it out, and he sees that it's all dorks. And I'm just like, Kevin, hello,
Kevin, you're amongst your people.
Those are a bunch of kettles, dude.
Yeah. Have you ever looked in the mirror, Kevin? Mm-hmm. Like, you're nothing to write home about, buddy. Yep.
But apparently Kevin can kick amazingly, because that's what he does. And by amazingly, I mean he successfully kicked the ball.
Kicked the ball. Which I guess when we do see them play later, I guess that bar is pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's always hard for me to watch people try to be unskilled at a thing, like, and how miserable you have to be. It's unrealistically bad. Like, you can't...
Yeah.
You're having to try so hard, and we can tell you're trying to be not good. Like, it's just...
Well, it's like the... I forget who it was talking about as an actor trying to play drunk.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. You can't try to play drunk, because when you're drunk, you're trying to play sober.
Right.
So you have to really try to be sober, and then you will seem drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... Kevin's not sure he wants to be on the team, but everybody's like, you kick so good. And Kevin's like, oh, I do this good, huh? I'm good. They're like,
my raw talent.
Go talk to the coach. And he's like, oh, okay. And we are introduced to Coach Pops McIntyre.
Cool name.
Yeah.
I love a good Pops.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the other guy I recognized. It's just, a character actor who's been all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Paul Dooley's been in. Mm-hmm. Everything made for like 40 years. Yeah. He just would pop up on stuff.
Frequently
still
as a
working
pops
too.
Or
yep.
coach.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is,
He was born suited for that kind of a role.
Yeah.
I love that Kevin walks up to him and his first thing is, where's my juice? Did you bring my juice? It's like, okay, we're going straight for old man Pops. We are going to live in that.
And then did you see what the juice was?
It was prune juice.
Mm-hmm. It sure was.
Yeah, it was.
Sun-made prune juice.
I mean, when you're sitting on a cushion like that.
Listen, listen, if it's good enough for Worf, it's good enough for Coach.
That's fair. You know, mm-hmm. that's fair.
So, apparently Kevin's on the team, and then we get the one small scene with his family. And I love when we talk about, apparently soccer was unknown, and then his mom, in asking about it, is like, soccer, isn't that where they use brooms to sweep in front of the little thingy?
How do you know curling?
Right.
Yeah, how do you
ridiculous.
Know curling and not
ridiculous.
Soccer?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Right, exactly.
Curling is an amazing sport, though.
It's great. You can do. I got invited to go, but I was sick that day, and I couldn't go do some curling. I was excited.
Near me, and I want to go.
We have an actual.
You should go.
But I'm bad in low traction situations.
No.
they just opened a curling center here.
All right.
Yeah.
Get in on that, Travis. Mm-hmm. You can drink and just push a broom. It'd be great. I want to do it.
So the
we
only
could
other
be a curling team.
We could.
Yeah.
We
could. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Those were the games.
We got a team name and everything.
Our inspirational Disney film.
Yep. There we go.
Four podcasts.
I'll be here all the week. Cool Runnings, Eat Your Heart Out. Those were the games.
That's
coming for you.
Those were the games.
So we find out one more interesting nugget as Kevin's talking to his dad about it, that Pops McIntyre was apparently the greatest football coach the school ever had. They called him the Bear.
I mean, not to knock this man's credentials, but he's the greatest high school soccer coach. I mean, football coach. Like, okay.
Yeah.
All right,
let's calm down.
And
you know,
I mean, it's
Notre Dame.
Right. It's the greatest high school football coach for this particular high school.
Mm-hmm.
Living memory.
Yes.
It wasn't, I mean, wasn't Bear Bramlett the coach of Alabama at the time? Like, there's already a Bear.
It was Bear Bryant. Yeah.
Bear Bryant, excuse me. Yeah.
It's okay.
Bear Bryant.
Let the athlete tell us, Stephen.
I don't like Alabama. That's the problem.
I don't either.
War Eagle.
So we cut back to the soccer team, and Kevin's wondering if the Bear is hibernating. And then we get our actual introductions to everybody. So we're first introduced to Kevin's friend from the school bus, whose name was Nick. The most uncoordinated person he had ever met, but also the biggest Star Trek fan, who definitely face planted and then did the
he did that on the bus too.
Thing.
Yeah.
The
he's like, yeah, it's soccer. And then he did it, and I was like, what are you what?
Yeah,
it
I didn't
make any sense.
The context of
that
was weird, even
by
the show standards.
I don't understand. I'm so confused.
Yeah. And then we're
honestly the most confusing part.
Right. Then we're introduced to Andy, who is apparently just lazy. That's it. That's all he gets, to be lazy.
Well, because he's the chubby kid, obviously.
Right. Right.
Obviously.
Then we're introduced to Chuck, who is Mr. Fidget. Apparently he's elevated annoying to an art form somehow.
Listen, the poor kid had Tourette's, okay? It's not
I was
going
to say,
probably
never existed before.
There was no acknowledgement of, like, neurodivergent and how we're going to take care of it. It was just straight up 80s level, like, weird kids.
Mm-hmm.
Look at
the room.
Yeah, we go, and then we go
weird
from
stuff.
Tourette's to anxiety because we end up with Lee, who is just a bundle of nerves.
Yes.
It's which like, was the same as Lumpy Adams. Lumpy Adams was very same.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they're all wondering how they're doing after practice. And they ask Kevin. And Kevin's just like,
why are they asking him? He didn't even know what a soccer ball was 24
right.
hours ago. Like, what? He doesn't know the rules.
He could kick. He is good.
He's got natural talent.
Listen,
right.
That was when I was six and playing soccer. I played with my best friend, Doug, who also played. And now this is six-year-olds playing soccer, right, who are running up and down. But my my particular variety of Nero Spicy really likes the rules. And so I mostly, we're supposed to play halves. Like, you don't play positions when you're six, but we're you're supposed to play halves, right?
Right.
And my friend Doug would just chase the ball. And apparently I would stand, like, toes on the line and yell at him to get back.
So
I feel like I'm more qualified in this soccer scenario.
What you're saying
is, no wonder we're friends.
There's 6 year old blanket ball going on, and you're standing. You will not cross that line.
I will not cross that. They told me not to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have been doing the same thing Amy was doing. I've been like, the rules say don't.
I'm like, you know how mad I got when people were going the wrong way down the grocery store aisles in 2020? It was very mad.
There are rules.
Wow.
All of
the rules.
I thought I was
get it together.
I'm fine, though.
Yeah, we're
doing great.
So Kevin suggests they learn some plays, and they're like, yeah. So they go to Pops and ask him, hey, we want to learn some plays. And he's just like, learn some plays. Well,
because he doesn't know soccer either.
No, he doesn't, because he gives them a playbook, and we learn quickly it's the football playbook. It's probably the last one he used that just was still sitting on his desk.
I feel like he's putting in his community service hours.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he hit a parked car, and now he's doing community service.
Like, well, he says 1 year from high school coach.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, watching the weird kids out on the field.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. They're just not great, and nobody seems to be able to do anything about that. And again, Pops is 1 year away from his pension, and they saddle him with this soccer. So he's stuck with it, apparently.
Thank goodness we have YouTube, right? Like, I don't know how to do something. Great. Yeah. No worries.
I'll go learn it.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, you had to have someone who could teach you things.
Right?
Yeah. Because I will accept that there probably were not soccer books at the library.
No. Probably and not. If they were, they were probably historical context.
Yeah.
And not actually how to play
just
the game.
Pele. Mm-hmm. That's it.
It just said Pele. It's a picture of Pele. Look at him go.
So it's game day now. They've got to play a proper team. They've got jerseys and everything.
Yeah, it turns out some people here do, in fact, know how to play soccer. Yeah. I do like that they were wearing rugby shirts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, close enough.
Yeah. I mean, that's not that far off.
No. But then they get onto the field and see their opponents and...
they're giant.
Realize they could have passed for the Italian national all-stars, apparently.
Sure.
I mean, they have a functioning knowledge of how the game of soccer is played, which already put them at an advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that he used the phrase, they did their dead level best.
That is
what does that mean?
I don't know, but I've heard it and I like it.
Yeah,
I think it's
an old phrase.
Going into the lexicon, we're going to hear it in the next Ake Willow.
Probably.
I just thought dead level best was about the best description for their team.
Yeah.
And like they're losing 6-0 and they're like, it's the goalie's fault. And then everybody tries to be goalie. And then after 11-0, he's like, no, we ran out of scapegoats at that point. apparently, you do have time in the locker room, and Pops doesn't say anything. Kevin tries to give a pep talk, and he basically is just like, look, in a less glorified way, he says, let's be a goldfish, forget the first half, and just go out there. And so they just go out there and play. They get a possession. They get a completed pass.
Mm-hmm.
They score a goal, and it's awesome, and they celebrate. And then they realize it was their own goal that they scored on.
Oh, the second Lumpy Adams kicked the goal. I'm like, well, that's an own goal. Like, they're
exactly.
Scoring on their own net.
Yep.
And they're
because at one point, like when you watch them do the completed pass, like the ball could have been taken at any time. Like you can see the other players are right there, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, what? Come on. Like, mm-hmm. they're just letting them do it. And then I was like, oh.
That's why.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they are.
I've played this team before. It wasn't soccer. It was golf. And we were the team that was just doing so miserable that they were just like, it's fine. Yeah. We're just going to let these kids play, you know?
Just like, let them go. Dagnabbit.
Their frustration comes to a head and everybody's fighting, and then Pops actually gets up and comes over and he speaks words of wisdom. Kick it that way.
Thanks man.
Good job, Pops. But in that moment he became Pops. A coach again. They were finally a team, and Kevin says, "Let's lose one for Pops." And they do.
Not a problem, Kevin.
In the rain, in the mud, and everything. Yeah. So, you know, they only lose 19-0.
Sure.
That's a high-scoring game in soccer.
Yeah.
I mean, look, they
soccer's
were down
like 3.
They were down 11-0 at half. So they only gave up 7 more goals.
Oh, they did better in the second half.
And scored
one of which was their own.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. You know, I think the score would have been lower had the field been regulation size. I'm pretty sure that field was about a third of the size of an actual soccer field.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
ridiculous.
So, and then, you know, they apparently had a good time, and Kevin says he'll never forget these guys, even if they were dorks. I'm like, okay, Pot.
Yeah. Dude, Kevin, you're a dork. That's why you're here on this team. You're just able to communicate better than them with the jocks on the other side.
Right.
Yeah.
But you're still a dork. Like, if they're going to invite you to play D&D, and if you went, you'd have fun.
And then you'd have
to figure out what to do with yourself.
Yeah.
For real.
actually, 71, they didn't have D&D yet, right? That was later. I came along later.
Yeah, it would have been a little bit later.
They could have played a war game. Didn't there have war games then?
For sure.
So, but that's where we end this episode with we lost the soccer game, and I'll remember those guys. Not anything about the trophy case. Not, hey, we got in the trophy case, our picture, just because we played on the soccer team.
Like the first soccer team or whatever.
And not even that. That's really ultimately what made this episode not good, is like just nothing happens.
No one learned
lessons. Nothing.
Pop gets his prune juice.
Yeah, that's it. Like Pops doesn't change from the beginning of the episode to the end.
Mm-mm.
You know, nothing changes with anybody. It's just like, it was a what are we even here for type episode. And I think it was missing
Paul. It was missing Winnie. Yep. It was missing any. I mean, Kevin got to call Wayne a butthead, which is always. That's necessary. It's part of the formula. But outside of that,
it's nice for him to call Wayne a butthead for a change.
Yes. And, like, you know, we got a little bit of Dan Loria, who is one of my favorite people on this show. He's that stoic 1960s dad that's like, I would hug you, but that might make you weak.
Right.
So we're not going to do that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of vibe that you get. I don't know. It was a bad episode. But it was better than some other bad TV, you know?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah,
because that's the thing. Yeah. Like, it still is the Wonder Years. Like, despite how bad it was still, we get, you know, Daniel Stern narrating, talking to us, future Kevin, talking about his time and everything. And, you know, Steven, like you said, young Kevin, who is trying to be the coolest kid anywhere at any time.
Yep.
Even though he's not.
He's not. He's never going to
be. But he's trying.
But if he would accept it, he would be much better off, but we wouldn't have a TV show.
Yeah.
So. I think that's the fun thing about having the voiceover. Like, this show wouldn't work without it.
No.
Because there's nothing. Having older Kevin looking back and kind of picking on younger Kevin is what makes it work.
Yeah.
Like, how he can look back and go, I was 5'4", 115 pounds. What was I doing?
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes this realize. It's older Kevin who knows who he is going, there's that kid who has no idea. Yeah. And maybe that's what the Wonder Years is all about.
I don't want to go back. I don't. Yeah. I still don't. I'm gonna be like, sorry, kid. And that was, I don't know what we were just flailing out here.
That's one of the more interesting things about this show. Like,
enjoy your college debt.
They knew what they were doing this voiceover thing. None of the actors had any clue about it. Like, they didn't understand at all. They were like, what? Like, they came in and, you know, auditioned and stuff and got on the show. And it wasn't until later when they could actually see the show assembled and hear the actual narration, they were like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
I get it now.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's not just an opening and a closing narration. It's throughout the show, which was, I mean, wildly different. That's not what I would have ever thought to do.
Right.
It's, you can do a Kevin-only episode when Kevin and older Kevin are the characters.
Right.
It gives it a whole different vibe. So a bad episode like this can still have some sort of essence to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that was that episode. Do I need to ask if we'd go back and watch more Wonder Years at all after...
I've seen every episode. I would do it. I would watch it again. Mm-hmm. I would sit down and watch through the show all over again.
We can bring
a good episode back sometime.
Sure. I think none of our TV shows we pick are ever off limits to be brought back up. But particularly this theme.
Oh yeah,
definitely need to bring back.
Because I was thinking about that too. I did play with that idea of picking a show that we have already done,
and doing
a not good episode out of it.
Anybody see the new version of the Wonder Years?
No.
And watch it?
No.
I think two or three
looks
seasons.
Like two seasons, three seasons, 32 episodes. Oh.
Yeah.
That's a shame. No, it's hard to catch lightning
in
a bottle.
Level of, yeah, I'm then that level of old cranky person that I'm like, already did it.
Oh, Kurt in the chat liked it.
Well, good.
Nice.
At least Kurt watched it for us. Thanks, Kurt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Kurt.
Our man in the fields.
Reporting now to Kurt. He says
it's good. You can still watch it now. It's on Hulu.
Yep.
Which is now part of Disney Plus and stuff. But like,
which I think is why we finally got the Wonder Years streaming, because you know, so for so long this show was unavailable, like it wasn't on video because of the music. Like, there's so much music in it that the rights were just a nightmare until you have Disney dollars, and then it's fine.
Yeah,
I mean, like, you can play James Brown if you want to,
right?
Which was a great choice for this episode.
It was really good.
It was.
Mm-hmm. Which, watching this episode too, the opening Joe Cocker was definitely different than I remembered.
Well, this was season 5, so probably had changed significantly.
Yeah, they changed it.
There were old clips, 8mm clips that were newer than what I remember.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, that was the Wonder Years. Season 5, episode 7, soccer. Did we get any feedback on this one at all?
Ooh, that's a good question. Did we get any feedback? I mean, it's a good thing I had the emails just pulled right up.
Yep.
We did, Phil.
This,
we got one from Phil.
Okay,
Phil
cool.
Rude has emailed us. Phil. Would you like me to read this email?
Yes.
Absolutely.
He says, Amy, Audie, Steven, and Travis. No favorites, because he just did it in alphabetical order.
Yeah.
He said, lies. I don't have to tell you. I don't have to tell you all how great you are. You already know that, so I'll get right to it. Oh, you did have to tell us. It makes us feel good.
Yeah, we do
actually
need that. Yeah, we
appreciate it.
Yeah, we needed that. That's a critical piece of it. The Wonder Years is a unique show to me because I watched it as it was airing and was the exact same age as Kevin Arnold. At the time, I didn't connect with any of the nostalgia for the 1960s or nostalgic view of childhood, but I identified with everything the character was going through in terms of first crushes, first heartbreaks, having a hard time connecting with your parents, all the coming-of-age stuff. When I revisited the show years later, there was an entirely different layer to it, and the show takes on an entirely different perspective and tone. As a kid, I saw The Wonder Years as a very funny, sweet, and relatable sitcom, but as an adult, it became a kind of sad and melancholic, almost dramatic show. It's an absolutely brilliant show to me because it's relevant to me in different ways at different times in my life, and that helps keep it evergreen. Thanks for covering such a great show, and keep up the great work, Phil.
Thanks,
what a great look into that. That's a good point, because I watched it as a teen, and I equated a lot of what was going on with Kevin to my own experience. I'm sure looking at it now would be a very different view.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why when you said it won comedy, actually kind of threw me off a little bit, because it has a lot of very dramatic overtones, and I don't know if that's because it doesn't have a laugh track. You know, it has some things that are funny, but it's kind of hard to tell whether it's trying to be funny or it's trying to pull on your heartstrings. It could go either way, depending on how you're watching it and the mood you're in, I think.
Yeah.
And it's done
the way
in
they're handling it.
Yeah. And the style of it, like you mentioning there isn't a laugh track, it's a sitcom in the same style that would later be like Malcolm in the Middle. Malcolm in the Middle just goes like more absurd, but it's that same type of show. So, yeah, but that's a great point by Phil that, you know, seeing it at different stages in your life and how you can relate differently. It's a good one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Phil. Also, you can email us.
Yeah.
If you
want to. Yeah. If
those
you want to send us
feedback. @gmail.
Yeah. thosewerethedayshow@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter. @thosedayshow. Most of the social stuff I got was just, you know, people liking it. And like, I remember that show. It was good. It was good stuff.
It was good.
And this was the worst of it.
Yeah.
So says a lot.
Yeah. Now, next week, I believe Steven is bringing us his worst of the best.
I am, and I struggled with the right show to pick. It was either it wasn't streaming anywhere, which made it really difficult, or it's a show I really love, and it was really hard to pick out one. I found there were a few categories of why a show is the worst show that I did. It was like, the subject matter and the reason why this show sucks is not something I want to talk about on primetime.
Yeah.
Right. So it was like, that was where I was at, like looking through this. But I did manage to find one of a show that I really loved growing up, and that is The Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Oh, wow.
Season 4, Episode 7. I can't remember the subtitle of it, but Season 4, Episode 7. These are streaming on Hulu. So if you could watch The Wonder Years, you can watch The Mary Tyler Moore Show. And again, a show that's considered classic and wonderful all around has a worse episode. And we're going to find out next week, is the worst episode really bad TV? Or is it kind of like this one where it's just like, it's just the worst of a great show, which means it's still pretty good. We're going to find out. I'm excited to go back and visit Mary Richards in Minnesota doing the news thing. It's going to be good stuff. Looking forward to it. Yep.
So that was what you said, Season 4, Episode 7?
Season 4, Episode 7. It seems Episode 7,
seven
is the
like
episode that sucks.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, I don't know.
It's like, what do we got to do? I'm running out of ideas. Let's just throw something out there. This has a really fun cameo, which made me wonder, like, why does it suck? Because I'm really excited about the cameo. But, hey, we'll find out.
Okay, apparently it's called Sons of But Seriously, Folks.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
But Seriously, Folks. Yep. That'll be good. Or bad.
Yeah. We will see.
Let's hope it's terrible. Yeah. find out next week.
Yep. So, thank you all, everybody who... Thank you, Phil, for writing in again. Appreciate the feedback. Thank you, everybody who's been hanging in the chat tonight. We appreciate you guys and all the banter going back and forth. Again, if you want to watch us make the sausage, we're here Monday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern on twitch.tv/2dorksTV. Follow us on the social medias. Come hang out in the Two Dorks Discord. We'd love to have you. But until next week and the Mary Tyler Moore Show, for Steven, for Amy, for Travis, I'm Audie. And we hope you look back at those times in your lives past with some wonder. See you next week on Those Were the Days.